listening to TBR Radio, brought to you by the Barnes Review. Now, the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody. Returning with me today is Dr. Eric Karlstrom, and I'm going to bring him up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yes. Good morning, Andy. I get, at least for me, it's morning. I guess for you, it's evening. Is that correct?
It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
Okay.
So, good.
Yeah. And before we start, I know that you're going to go through some points from the last show that you want to add in, which will be very interesting. But we got an email about our last show. This is from a long-time listener and supporter of the show, Renata and Werner. Renata does a lot of work on my Facebook as well, promoting the shows and commenting, and I thank her very much for that. I'm just going to read the start of the email. Dear Andy, just when I was a tad under the spell of hopelessness, you bring on this excellent Dr. Karlstrom. Wow, I'm blown away by his flawless knowledge and the way he delivered it. Looking into his websites right now. So there you go. You're very popular over there. Certainly the show was very popular, Eric. So I just thought I'd read that out before I hand over to you.
Well, thank you, Andy. And it's a real pleasure to be able to talk to you and, you know, be honest. I think there's a real thirst for the truth. And it's very, very difficult to find the truth in the mainstream media and in the propaganda system and even in the schools that we're subjected to. Let me just start with a couple quotes. Truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Joseph Goebbels, who, of course, was the main head of the Ministry of Propaganda in the Nazi regime. And then your own countryman, George Orwell, in A Time of Universal Deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And I've got five websites that I've been plugging away on now. One of which is new, which we can kind of feature a little bit today. And these include 911nwo.com, which we'll talk about today, naturalclimatechange.org, which we talked mostly about last week, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, all one word, sanluisvalleywaterwatch.com, you see, brevity is not my forte here. And erickarlstrom.com, which is my musical website. I think it's important to try to be, you know, creative and you know, make the most of our time here on Earth, you know, developing our talents as per, you know, the biblical story. But, yeah, I'm hoping that today we can get into 911 and mind control and gang stalking in particular. But I just have a couple leftovers from last week when we did talk about the whole climate change fraud. And I think this is very important. So let me just give a few minutes, if you don't mind, to what I forgot to mention. You get carried away in these discussions and sometimes you just miss some very important points. From an earth scientist's point of view, and I taught physical geography at universities for 30 years, if you look at the Earth's history of 4.6 billion years, for about 80% of that time, the Earth, the planet, was significantly warmer than today by, say, 8 to 10 degrees centigrade. And there was no permanent ice on the planet during most of the Earth's history during that time. And in fact, what we see in the fossil record is that plants and animals thrive in warmer climates, and that's true for humans as well. So the average temperature of the Earth today is about 58 degrees Fahrenheit, but we know that the optimal temperature in our rooms and our homes is about 69, 70 degrees Fahrenheit. So if we can warm up the planet up to that, you know, this is going to be generally beneficial for life. So kind of an important point is that my own research on ancient soils in Montana and Kansas and places like that, looking at the types of soils that I found in glacial deposits that would have formed during interglacial environments of the last couple million years or so, show that even in the last couple million years during what we call the Ice Age, the interglacials were significantly warmer than the present. Again, in the continental areas like Montana and Kansas, quite a bit warmer. And as recently as the last interglacial, about 124,000 years ago, you know, sea levels were, you know, 5-6 feet higher than present. And the fossil record in the mid-continental United States show, you know, alligators in Kansas and giant tortoises in Illinois. And again, these soils all over the Midwest suggest that the climate was radically different as recently as 124,000 years ago. And of course, people weren't driving cars, and we were, it was way before the Industrial Revolution. So this is all a huge lie. And we'll have to understand why the lie is being perpetuated by these, you know, power elites. And the most important, I guess, from a scientific viewpoint, all science wants to describe, classify, and predict. The computer models that, you know, are funded by countries and ultimately kind of coordinated by United Nations efforts, which are supposed to be deterministic, which means that they're supposed to understand the climate system, all have made radically inaccurate projections. All show in their modeling, you know, warming of 1 to 11 degrees Fahrenheit by the end of this next of this century. And in fact, the satellite data, the instrumental data, agree that the planet, it's very difficult to get one number for the average temperature of the planet because every place is warming and cooling at a different rate. But based on our best satellite coverage and now some ocean coverage as well, the planet's been cooling very slightly since about 1998. So all of the predictions for warming have been shown to be false. So that shows that the science, quote unquote, that has gone into these computer models is wrong. The assumptions are wrong. And we talked a little bit about that last time. So the global warming fraud then is designed to form the centerpiece of Agenda 21 of the United Nations, also now called Agenda 2030. Davos, the meeting 5 years ago, said they wanted $100 trillion per decade in carbon taxes, or $10 trillion a year, to fund their world government project, and the UN would be the prototypical world government. And there's other advantages to the ruling elite for this fraud. It also creates billions in funding, and some of this money, I think, I'm pretty sure, has been diverted for military, corporate, geoengineering, weather modification, weather warfare programs, and the science can be used for that. And then, as a bonus, the global warming fraud creates this incredibly misplaced fear, you know, oh, the sky is falling, and stupidity, just like the Flat Earth Society creates stupidity. So I think, you know, we can look at this thing a little bit from a spiritual point of view. Fear and deception are the main tools of the devil. Okay, now let me. Had that said, would you like to launch? Can I launch then into this week's topic, Andy? And I'll ask a question like a professor might. I'll ask of you and the listeners: what do 911, geoengineering, HARP, the High Active Frequency Auroral Research Program, mind control, touchless torture, non-lethal weapons, gang stalking, and the current proposed warfare testing by the Navy in the Olympic National Forest have in common?
I would have to defer to you on that, Eric. It's a lot of topics. I'm certainly looking forward to what you're going to...
It's a vast... Test. Yeah, these are apparently radically different subjects, but they all have in common electromagnetic weapons or directed energy weapons. This, in 1989, I think it was the Army or one of the military services in America wrote a paper about the revolution in military affairs. Now we're talking about the militarization of Tesla technology. And now we get into the electromagnetic spectrum, which, you know, what we see as visible light is electromagnetic energy a very narrow bandwidth, I guess you could say, from the point of the electromagnetic spectrum. It's all radiant energy that has a wavelength, that is to say, a distance from crest to crest of the electromagnetic wave, of 0.4 to 0.7 micrometers or millionths of a meter. So you know what a meter is, about 3 feet. Now imagine a millionth of that. Now you've got these wavelengths, and that's what we see. But the electromagnetic spectrum is comprised of wavelengths of energy, radiant energy, that range from much, much, much shorter wavelengths down to the gamma rays, you know, and the shorter wavelengths would include, and anybody, I would encourage anybody to go on their computer and look up the electromagnetic spectrum at this point, if they have the time, because the shorter wavelengths would include, as we go from the shortest of the visible light is violet, and these are the colors of the rainbow when we get rain and the sun, you know, goes through the raindrops and is refracted, and we get the colors of a prism. And shorter than violet, then, is ultraviolet, which we can't see. Shorter than that is X-rays. Shorter than that is hard X-rays, and shorter than that is gamma rays. And now we're talking extremely short wavelengths. And if we go longer than red, which is visible light at about 0.7 microns or micrometers, we get into the infrared, which we feel as a portion of that long infrared we feel as heat. Then we get into the microwaves. Then we get into the radio waves. Now, all of these things are real. We don't see them. So most people might not think they're real. But, of course, the military has been working on militarizing the electromagnetic spectrum for a long time. And, of course, maybe some of your audience will remember the story of Nikola Tesla, who invented, you know, alternating current electricity, and actually invented the radio, and, you know, had many, many, many patents. One of the greatest scientists and geniuses of all time, I'm sure. And he invented a death ray back around the early 1900s. And he, you know, this thing would, he said, at a distance, completely destroy an airplane engine, you know, from, you know, 250 miles away. He said he could split the world in two with long enough wavelengths of electromagnetic energy. And he had this, you know, one of the, he had his labs back in New York and Manhattan, and he had his experiments out in Colorado Springs. The life of Nikola Tesla is very, very interesting. And the night before he died, the day before he died, he, at the age of about 80, the next day he was going to visit Franklin Delano Roosevelt to try to talk about some of these wavelengths of these technologies that could be used to end the war. And of course, he was altruistic. He wanted his energy to his technologies to be used for world peace. He wanted it to give everybody basically free energy. And of course, the Pentagon or elements in the government probably poisoned him and then absconded with so many of his very sensitive records. And of course, then these technologies have been weaponized, just as the military has weaponized psychology and anthropology and sociology and just about everything you can think of in their mind control experiments and in their military operations. So anyway, the revolution in military affairs is what happens when you get a new technology that makes older technologies obsolete. Obviously, World War II, you know, you had tanks and you had bombers and you had, you know, tremendous military effort, which was more or less made obsolete by nuclear weapons, which came along at the end of the war. And then and now these directed energy weapons more or less make even the atomic and hydrogen bombs obsolete, because they can be used in such a stealthy manner. People can't see these wavelengths, and yet they can be extremely potent. This really is our topic for today, how these weapons can be used and are used. And I'll begin with a quote by Dr. Judy Wood, who's written a fabulous book, Where Did the Towers Go, about the 911 issue. I've actually interviewed Judy Wood on the radio, and she was a professor at the time of 911 with a PhD in materials engineering and optical interferometry, in other words, a physicist. and what she did was she examined thousands and thousands of photographs of the, you know, ground zero area. And looked at the evidence, looked at the hard evidence. Of course, we were told within minutes nationally that it was Osama bin Laden, blah, 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 and that this was a terrorist act. But it was a terrorist act, of course, but it was done by our own government. As will become very, very clear if you go through my website, it's a slam dunk. We'll talk about reasons for that later. But here's a quote from Dr. Judy Wood: "We stand at the dawn of an entirely new age. By all the evidence," now she's the one who's got written a huge book about this, "man has in his hands a method of disrupting the molecular basis for matter." In other words, those steel beams and the glass and the concrete of those buildings became dustified, and a lot of that material actually didn't go down at all. It went up. So we have the basis now for disrupting molecular basis for matter, and the ability very possibly to split the Earth in half at a moment's notice. Of course, Tesla bragged about that over a century ago. The technology demonstrated on 9/11 can indeed split the Earth in half, or it can be used to allow all people to live fruitful, constructive, and non-polluting lives through their use of free energy. He who controls the energy controls the people. Control of energy, depending on what that energy is, can destroy or sustain the planet. So that's where we are. That's the we're at that cusp of history. And of course, you know as well, or by far better than most people, who the real power elite is. You've written a book called The Synagogue of Satan. I call the power elite Judeo-Masonic Satanists. We're totally in agreement about the secret government, the identity of the secret government. And of course, they don't particularly want to share this energy. They have a different plan. And that plan, unfortunately, very unfortunately for us, is depopulation. So we now have this revolution in military affairs. All of our military and intelligence agencies, of course, are extremely hierarchical structures that are controlled from the top, the ruling elite. So we now live under, in America, the great American intelligence, surveillance, military police state. That is, I think, having done now some research on this and actually being a targeted individual myself, which has inspired a lot of my research, I think we have thousands, possibly millions of paid civilian spies in America now, working for Department of Homeland Security, working as contractors, subcontractors with the FBI, NSA, et cetera. And these people are lied to and told that, you know, certain other citizens are you know, pedophiles or, you know, prostitutes, or, you know, they don't feed their cats or whatever they tell them. And then this justifies them to spy and harass their fellow citizens and violate their Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment rights. The thing about this gang stalking, and I'm talking about gang stalking, of course, the thing about this gang stalking program is that the stalking is one element, and but another element is the use of directed energy weapons. And there are many, many different wavelengths, such as microwaves and ultrasound, millimeter waves, etc., that can be used to accomplish different objectives, such as actually inserting voices into the skulls of the targets. Voice of God technology has been around since the 70s. Eileen Cady, who was the lady who was channeling, you know, some being, some, you know, ascended master or whatever, with the Findhorn cult up in your neck of the woods there in Britain. She was one of these Manchurian channelers using CIA MK Ultra mind control technology, the voice to skull, V2K technology. It's possible for government or non-government agencies to insert voice of God messages into people's heads. SSSS is one name for one of the technologies, which stands for silent subliminal presentation system. And this is a wave that can be carried on all digital TV signals, and can put subliminal messages in people's heads, such as, you know, I need to go kill that person, or God told me to do this, or the devil is bugging me, I got to go, you know, kill myself or whatever. So, you know, I think there's a real good case to be made that all of these, you know, Aurora type shootings, you know, are. And so many of them now in this country are fake terrorist attacks or fake terrorism designed to make us all, of course, live in fear. But these individuals who are pushed to the brink of doing these murders are often probably dealing with this kind of mind control or gang stalking from, you know, extremely low frequencies, radio waves, microwaves. The military has been working on weaponizing these aspects of the electromagnetic spectrum for over 50 years, and this has been top secret. But it's not a secret if you care or your listeners care to go online, look up gang stalking, look up MK Ultra, look up electronic weapons, psychotronic weapons. You'll see that in 1953 under Alan Dulles, the CIA launched their MK Ultra 168 sub-projects of mind control in order to get others to do their bidding, often in, you know, in violation of their own self-interest. It's right in their own documents right at the beginning. And they had 168 sub-projects that they contracted out to psychologists and psychiatrists and hospitals and universities and military bases all over America. This came out in the 70s and 80s. The Church Committee, Frank Church, the senator, had an investigation about CIA violations. And at that time, this is 1976, that's a long time ago, 40 years ago, you know, the, over 10,000 operations, all illegal, all immoral, probably, and many, many targeting Americans, and often targeting Americans for non-consensual experimentation, often targeting Americans for terminal experiments. A terminal experiment, you get the psychologist saying, well, we're going to try this out, and yeah, the person might die, but, you know, we got to find this out. So, you know, completely overriding the rights, the constitutional rights of the American citizenry. This has been going on for a long time. The thing about gang stalking, it is not just targeting Americans. This is targeting people where you live, Andy, as targeting people all over the world. So the NSA, the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Homeland Security intend to take out whistleblowers, dissidents, anybody that they, in fact, it's a weapons testing system. They're testing a weapon system. Anybody that the government or some, you know, subcontractor wants to test this technology on, they can do so. So again, the common denominator of all of these things is these directed energy weapons. The Navy has now applied to conduct electronic warfare on the Olympic National Forest up in Washington State. And they're doing an environmental assessment, you know, to show you how rigged and pathetic the environmental system is. In other words, we'll let you do this project because you're powerful. But, you know, if you're just a landowner out in Colorado and you happen to have, some little insect on your property, then I'm sorry, you're just going to have to give us your property. So it's, again, it's selective enforcement. The Navy can do whatever it wants because they're powerful. So really our topic then is the surveillance state, the police state, the intelligence police state, which is locking down the world now. The targeted individuals, such as myself, are the canaries in the coal mine. And I think maybe we have an opportunity while we're still alive and kicking to expose this. This is a very, very evil system. You talk about the synagogue of Satan. This is right out of hell. The people that are being tortured, they contact me because I've done interviews on this, and I have my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website now, which is an outgrowth of my 911 NWO.com site. people contact me and they talk to me on the phone, and I've got many books about it now. I'm starting to understand the system. But obviously all of this is to usher in one world government and get rid of the thorny patriots and truth tellers and dissidents and whistleblowers and anybody else that the military intelligence complex decides they want to experiment on. And let me just, I'll say a couple more things before we open it up, maybe for a little discussion. I've found lots of books on this. And again, my website is gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com. Dr. John Hall, an anesthesiologist in San Antonio, has written a couple good books, the most recent of which is Guinea Pigs, Technologies of Control. His previous book is about satellite weapons. Another one that's written by, I think, one of your countrymen, A.K. Forwood, who's been on both sides of the gang stalking spectrum, wrote a book, a short book called Gang Stalking and Mind Control, The Destruction of Society Through Community Spying Networks. This gets into all the, you know, the perpetrators who are then coordinated in a real command structure worldwide now. We're talking about a civilian command structure. People talking on cell phones and iPads and getting orders from central control to go harass this individual or do this street theater or do this gaslighting or a whole series of psychological harassment techniques that go back to the East German Stasi police in the 80s. Check out the movie The Lives of Others, which, you know, I mean, when East Germany fell apart in 89 and the wall came down, they actually had to open up the records, and this was all pencil and paper or typewriter records. And the people of East Germany were able to go in and look at the records that the government had on every single human being. And, of course, many of those people were targeted. And the East German word is Zerzestung or something, or the German word, which literally means decomposition. So the idea is to destroy every aspect of the target's life and to get them homeless out on the street or to get them so frustrated and harassed and depressed that they actually kill themselves. So this is a murder weapon. It's a slow, when I talk about no-touch torture, when I talk about non-lethal weapons, this is what it is. These are the weapons in conjunction with then the street harassing, the stalking, which first isolates and then drives a targeted individual to want to kill themselves. And we're talking a satanically inspired program. There's no doubt in my mind. The Cheka in Soviet Union did this, the Stasi, the Gestapo and Nazis, and now the American intelligence state, Department of Homeland Security, FBI, and their contractors. There's billions of hundreds of billions of dollars spent by our government on this stuff. We're $20 trillion in debt, but our government can spend over $1 trillion on these absurd wars in the Middle East that benefit Israel only, and perhaps some of the oil companies, and then also, of course, all of this money for the American police state, the post 911 police state on steroids. So if you want to know the real purpose of 911, of course, it is one to justify the foreign wars, because we have to go after bin Laden, of course, is the patsy, just like Lee Harvey Oswald. And then, of course, set up this internal police state. Department of Homeland Security is set up right after 9/11. And now it's got $60 billion a year budget, 200,000 employees. And, you know, they're working at 78 fusion centers all over America with local police and the military, you know, to stamp out terrorism. Well, isn't that an interesting strategy, since the government is doing the terrorism always? Exactly. You know, Iqbal Ahmed in his book Confronting Empire talked about the fact that, yeah, there's five different kinds of terrorism, and by far the most common kind historically is government state-sponsored terrorism. So we see 9/11 then as state-sponsored synthetic false flag terrorism. And all my website and so many books prove that this is a self-inflicted wound, of course, then the pretext for all these foreign wars, which, of course, the military loves, because that keeps them going and experimenting with their weapons. And then the intelligence state at home is developing this police state on steroids. NASA, of course, is NSA, excuse me, has been collecting every scrap of metadata on every American citizen since even before 9/11. Cheney ordered that 6 months before. Collect everything, he said to the NSA, which has the largest computers in the world. And now the Utah Data Center with a million square feet. And this is where all these records of people like me and all the targets and everybody else is kept by our surveillance, military industrial surveillance state. So I'm calling on the young computer whizzes, the hacksters, the hacktivists, get out there and expose these assholes before they destroy our country. The enemy is inside. Of course, all of the agencies have been infiltrated. As you know, this is how the Synagogue of Satan operates. I put even a little bit of a mnemonic device on how they operate. ICAE, not a very good acronym, but they infiltrate, they contaminate, they appropriate, and they eliminate all good cultural environment. So this is the takedown of America. And this is a weapon system that can be turned up to include many, many more people. So we're looking then at the potential genocide of you know, the vast majority of humans on the planet using these kinds of technologies. Now, HAARP, which we talked about last time, can be used in several ways. These long, extremely low frequencies, radio waves, can be used to, again, to bounce up towards the ionosphere and then pinpointed, directed towards any area on the planet over the and could be over the horizon radar, areas of instability such as earthquake prone zones can receive that little bit of extra energy, and then earthquakes can be set off at depth. Earthography is this. Also, storm fronts can be maneuvered. Hurricanes can be juiced and knocked down with this energy that you know, humans can manipulate now. Another aspect is that it can beam energy that is the same frequencies of the human brain. And now the Earth, the main frequency given off by the Earth is between, you know, 0 and 30 hertz. And the main frequency given off by the Earth is 7.82 hertz, which is called the Schumann wave. And, well, guess what frequency our brains are and our emotions and our organs are attuned to? Well, the same wavelength as the Earth. I mean, we're and I have to give a little bit of a brief description of the electromagnetic spectrum. All radiant body, and this is what I would teach my climatology and my introduction to physical geography classes. Any body above absolute zero in its temperature is going to give off electromagnetic radiation. And the hotter the body, the shorter the wavelengths are radiated. That's called Wien's law, if you want to know. But anyway, so the sun, being a much, much hotter body, radiates in the short wavelength spectrum that we see as visible light, ultraviolet, etc. And the Earth and humans, being much cooler, radiate in longer waves. Well, the scientists with the military have found out, of course, that not only that, but each human radiates a unique signature of electromagnetic radiation coming off their own brains. So NSA and its busyness over the years has figured out how to decode the map the brain signals and actually identify each individual by their unique electromagnetic brain signal. So they can actually track us that way. So if I take a trip, they don't need to have an implant in my body, which, of course, they were using back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, the so-called stemocever of Delgado, where they would put implants in your teeth or whatever, and then they'd actually, you know, kind of control you through these implants. Now they don't need that. Now they can go directly they can identify you, and then they can add radiant energy of different wavelengths and frequencies to, you know, stimulate whatever mood they wish, because they know which frequencies correspond with which moods, and or anxiety, etc. They can also fry different organs because they know just how to do that. They can induce you know, heart palpitations, heart attacks. They can induce cancer with these kinds of technologies. Like I say, these have been weaponized. Now, this was used in the first Gulf War in 1991 when the SSS technology was broadcast into a battalion or more of Iraqis. And they all thought they heard Allah telling them to give up their weapons. And so they all did. They got down on their knees, gave up their weapons, and 150 Americans just mowed them down. Well, of course, this is quite a war weapon. But the point is that with HAARP, you can take an entire population, any entire population, and use this kind of weaponry against them. So, you know, I have an uncle who was very high in the CIA. I mean, you know, PhD, University of Chicago. His in real politics, which of course many people have called crackpot realism, which of course guided the CIA in their nefarious foreign adventures over the decades. And he took a trip down to Central America, and he came back, and we talked, and he was, you know, he was a great guy, one wonderful uncle, you know, but there was a flip side. And he said, well, you know, you can distinguish the countries in Central America. Some have the guns turned in. Some have the guns turned out. And the ones, of course, that have the guns turned outward are protecting their civilians. And the ones that have the guns turned inward are killing their population. Well, I'm suggesting that America is now in the position where the guns are turned inward. But we can't see the guns. The guns are directed energy weapons and gang stalking. So these two things, we have spies everywhere here. In our little communities, in my little community of Crestone, I don't know whether it's a quarter of our, or, you know, 100 million people in America are unemployed. Well, the government then can dangle money and good money in front of them and say, okay, I want you to report the activities of this person, and then we'll have an app on our iPhone and you can look through these pictures. And if you report that individual and you call it into the Fusion Center or whatever, you'll get $100 on your account. And this is coming from Karen Stewart in a great interview that she did recently with Jeff Rentz. And she actually asked one of these perpetrators, and she and he said, well, yeah, we get $100 every time we report a person. And so she says the greatest con of all times really is the Department of Homeland Security telling, you know, developing this terrorist watch list. And they inflate it with just putting any old buddy on that list so that, of course, they get the funding, and they can scare people into thinking that, you know, terrorists are among us, when in fact they're not. Who they're going after is innocent American citizens. What they're doing is a felony in every single state. It's immoral. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. And, you know, for years, most TIs, most targeted individuals, do not know that they are being targeted. I'd say for 2 years, I didn't know I was being targeted. Probably more, but now I know, and now I've connected up with other targeted individuals. I'm reading on the internet a lot. I'm reading books, and I'm going to fight back, because what is at stake is humanity. What is at stake is free will, because these people can and will invade everybody's minds and have the technology to do that, to create a docile slave population. Now, let me just go back, and I'll open this up in a second. But where does this come from? You perhaps know the quote by James Warburg, who was, you know, whose uncle, I think Paul Warburg, is one of the founders of the Federal Reserve. And he was son of one of the Council on Foreign Relations founders. And he testified in 1950, February 7th, in front of the U.S. Senate, "We shall have world government whether you like it, whether or not you like it, by conquest or consent." Well, obviously we haven't consented. And obviously what they're doing now is conquest. And this is one of the many, many tools, gang stalking. But it is a particularly evil and diabolical tool, and destructive. How many people have committed suicide because of this technology? How many people are going to because of this technology? And yet our neighbors, they don't want to know about it. Just like they don't want to know about Agenda 21, which passed in 1992. They don't know anything about it. And that's the plan to, you know, dissolve all the nation states and put us into one world government. It's like, and of course, part of the reason that they're ignorant about this is they've been brainwashed through our public schools and our TV and our media, et cetera, and our news system. And part of it is because they're mind controlled. So we have to know. This is self-defense now for the people of the world have to know about this. We have to teach each other. We have to fight back. And, you know, people get bogged down. Oh, it's aliens, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's not aliens. It's people here on Earth who are greedy and organized and diabolically driven to take over the Earth. And you know about the Synagogue of Satan better than anybody, Andy. So I'll stop there and we can discuss some of this stuff that where you want to go with it.
Thank you very much, Eric. Excellent presentation there. And you actually answered a point that came up in another show. I was speaking to an individual about a guy called Pastor Ray Redfern. This was Dr. James P. Wickstrom on a bonus show that I put out on a Saturday recently. And essentially, I've been given information since. The backstory is that we discussed a book called Into the Devil's Den, which is by an FBI informant and his FBI agent handler. He was strategically placed in a so-called subversive organization with the sole purpose of getting a guy called Pastor Ray Redfern that the government absolutely hated, and they wanted to lock him up on this, that, and the other. They end up bringing a book out 10 years after the investigation. They never had anything to arrest Ray Redfern on because he wasn't doing anything for them to arrest him on. But only a couple of years after their failed investigation, I knew he'd died of a heart attack, but what I didn't know is the information that's been passed to me, which is his heart literally exploded in his chest. Now, we're talking around 2003 here, 2002, 2003, so this certainly doesn't sound like a normal heart attack and could have been the result of one of these weapons. Would that be a possible, would this be a possible cause here, Eric?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'm afraid I can vouch personally that, you know, this past summer, I have been, I think, you know, gang stalked in the street and on the road where I, you know, take a trip and whatnot. These are other people harassing you, and it's really quite disconcerting and discombobulating. What is this person doing? You know, but of course, then there's the attack mode. Let me just read what Dr. John Hall says in his chapter 8 of guinea pigs, technologies of control. He identifies six phases of the targeted individuals. The first is selection. The second is surveillance, and they get every bit of information about you they can over a period of years, and generally the target is unaware that this is occurring. Then there's the stalking phase, but this is done with the full awareness of the target to really, you know, rattle them and discombobulate them and make them panic and make them fear, et cetera, put them in a very anxious state. This can include all kinds of cyberbullying and cell phone spoofing and computer hacking and email tampering. So there is electronic harassment used in this part. And as the stalking phase is occurring, there's also a defamation phase where you have all kinds of their perpetrators are out in the community spreading lies about the target and telling them what a rotten, terrible person you are. You know, beware of this person. Be on the lookout. BOLO. You get these BOLO notices. Oh, watch out. Red flag. You know, this person is a person of we're suspicious of. And then number five is the attack phase, which is characterized by directed energy attacks meant to disrupt the normal physiological functioning. So the Victim then will have multiple visits to the doctor and complain of muscle twitching, headaches, heart palpitations, skin burning, and other complaints. Later they'll hear these voice to skull transmissions, and now they realize that, you know, this is not just medical, this is something else. But the weapons that are being used can be portable. They can be from satellites. They can be from Gwen Towers. They can be from HARP. And they would include microwave, millimeter wave, radio frequency, laser, and probably scalar modalities of energy. So we're talking physics, which you don't get in college. You know, we're getting into black physics here that the military has. And these are very, very high-tech military weapons. And yet a lot of the contractors and subcontractors are private corporate groups like InfraGuard, which is led by an ex-FBI guy. And, out of a $60 billion budget for the FBI, for instance, $40 billion would go to subcontractors. This is due to Reagan's Executive Order 12333, which then privatized the functions of our intelligence agencies. So that's what we're dealing with now. And then the last phase is monitoring. So they want to, they want to monitor this phase because, again, this is a weapons system and they're testing it. But going back to my own story, this summer, I was all of a sudden, I was just weak as a kitten. I tried to stand up. I just hit the floor. I've climbed mountains all over the world. I'm quite strong. I'm 6'1" and 220 pounds, and I hike a lot. And I didn't have the strength to stand. And I went right to the ground. And for the next month, I was on my back. I lost a lot of weight because I didn't have enough strength to get up and go to the refrigerator and get food. And my blood pressure was very low. My heart, and that's very atypical. It's always been a little bit high. And a whole series of, I won't get into all my symptoms, but they're very bizarre symptoms all at once. And then just more recently, within the last month, all of a sudden my blood pressure has skyrocketed very high. And then the atrial fibrillation, which I had, and the tinnitus in the ear, very common for targets where you hear the constant ringing, and those tones change. So you actually can kind of hear and I haven't got to the point where I'm hearing voices so far, thank God. But if that comes, then I'll know exactly what it is, you know. And I would, in this regard, I would really, really recommend the book called 1996 by Gloria Naylor, who's a black female author who's famous for writing a book called The Women of Brewster Place. And she was a target. And she died just this last year of a heart attack, probably induced. 1996 was the first year of her targeting that she really woke up to. And this is a fictional and yet very, very real account of how she was targeted, including the high-tech directed energy weapons and the gang stalking. And the ADL, the American Defamation League, and rabbis enlisted to get their whatever you call it, congregation out there on the streets, the Jewish congregation. Even in her story, a Mossad agent is brought into command, the operation. So that an entire military operation that is launched against one black author who was doing nothing. And she only got reported in the story because she was living trying to find peace in a very pretty little island, one of the barrier islands, I think, in North Carolina or South Carolina. And her neighbor across the street, who was a very weird Jewish lady, didn't like her. And her neighbor had cats and kept peeing in her garden. So she talked to her neighbor, and that made the neighbor mad. And then her neighbor reported this incident to her brother, who was, assistant deputy director of the NSA, as it turns out. And then, of course, one thing leads to another. And, everybody's gets involved in, how are we going to take this woman down? Pretty soon, they bring in these young hackers, and then they bring in this Mossad guy, and then they bring in the ADL, and all of this to take down a black woman who's done absolutely nothing wrong. She hasn't written anything that's political, but she got in the program. She was obviously reported by this lady. And what's so brilliant, I think, about 1996 is it shows the Jewish influence throughout. And I think, you could look at it from the point of view of Jesus Christ was gang stalked. And Of course, he's the one who identified the synagogue of Satan. So, you know, in a way, what's happened now is that the technologies have exponentially gotten more sophisticated, but the principle is the same. And I can tell you in my own experience, I do have an article on my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website about Jewish gangstalking. And the reason I put that together is I've been gangstalked. You know, I can recognize Jews, when they have a Star of David on the back of their, you know, a bumper sticker on their car, and, you know, and they just, you know, there's been a lot of Jewish gang stalking of me. Well, you know, if you read my websites, I talk about the controllers and I identify them as this, you know, the Illuminati, Judeo-Masonic Satanists. And, I guess maybe they would have a reason to want to silence me. But I'm still here. I increasingly, day by day, week by week, I realize the dimensions of what we're up against more and more. So yeah, this Redfern guy was put on a list. He was targeted. His heart was probably exploded by directed energy weapons in the attack phase. He was absolutely innocent of all wrongdoing. So the government has concocted this technology, this protocol, and this identical protocol is being used in Ireland. It's being used in England. It's being used in Sweden. It's being used all over the world. There is now a group called World Cash. Cash is Citizens Against Covert Harassment. Magnus Olsen is a Swede who's leading that up. And you can go online and listen to these guys talk. They have conferences, every year or two. And from my brief, kind of experience in this, as I wake up, they're going after some really fine people who are really smart and, good people, maybe even, just people who have not been corrupted by the system. And they have to, they want to bring them to hell, too. I'm sure that the perpetrators at all levels are taking on terrible karma. This is a very, very evil program. Karma would be the Buddhist word. Reap what you sow is the Christian. This is a satanic program. Mind control is a satanic thing. And this guy Forward, again, one of your countrymen, has a sentence in his book, Gang Stalking and Mind Control, said mind control and Satanism go hand in hand. So ultimately, this goes up to the satanic bloodline Illuminati families, going back to Bavarian Illuminati in Germany in 1776 and this plan to take down the world. So you have, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and all the Illuminati families who do this satanic ritual abuse to their own family, to their own kids, in order to control them. And now they want to, take over the world for Satan. And this program is a very, very evil and pernicious program. And you can see the Satanism in it from top to bottom.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. And I don't know, are you familiar with the attorney who was jailed called Edgar Steele?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, basically he was, we've only got 5 minutes left, so I don't want to dwell on this, but just to add to this story, the most famous eulogy written about Ray Redfern was Edgar Steele, because he was an attorney brought in to defend this organisation. And suddenly his gardener came out with allegations that he had approached the gardener to take a contract on him to kill his wife. And they're in court and the wife says, no, this is completely untrue. It's all made up. The gardener was, extorting money from us, etc. But he goes to jail, even though there's no victim in the trial, because the wife isn't saying that he tried to have her killed. She's saying that they live quite a happy life with lovely children that they have. But he goes to jail, and throughout his trial, he's like a zombie. And in jail, he's like a zombie, and he dies in jail. And he was obviously, people think that it was all medication and what have you he was given to just basically make him completely docile and ineffectual. But it would appear, again, it could be one of these weapons. And again, this guy's linked to this other guy. And they both meet a rather sticky end. But we've got literally about 4 minutes left, so I'm going to have to call a halt to the show there. So can you wrap up anything else that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, thank you, Andy. Just a couple points. on my 911nwo.com site and my gang stalking mindcontrolcults.com website, under mind control, I have an article that I wrote, I think about 2013, on mind control history and applications. And it's that in that I got into the MK Ultra projects, and it was a very hard year for me that year, because, you know, researching mind control is like going into the ninth circle of hell. You know, you're like Satan is right there. And, but I did write the article, and I think it's about that time that I really noticed I was being gang stalked too. But, we have to be aware, and this is CIA stuff. And a lot of this comes from, declassified documents and documents that were actually found in a box, you know, in seven boxes, 16,000 pages of documents that John Marks put together in his book, The Search for the Manchurian Candidate, back in the 70s, the CIA and mind control. And they had major categories: biological, chemical, and electronic means of mind control. They were researching this from the get-go. And so people need to be aware of these technologies. And again, Gloria Naylor's book, 1996, she describes these things in a brilliant way. And at the end of her book, she has an appendix, Litigation Against the NSA by John Sinclair Acque. And this was a legal suit that was thrown out of court. Just you know, it was rigged, just kind of like what you described. But in his statement, John Sinclair Acque's statement versus the NSA, he lays it out, what the NSA has been doing. And this, again, goes back to 1992. So, again, if you look at the history, if you care to look at the history, you'll see this is not aliens. This is our own people. This is scientists. This is politicians. This is CIA. This is the Illuminati, ultimately, the financial controllers of the world, who want to take over the world and have their Jewish utopia and eliminate, you know, 9/10 or 3/4 of the Gentile population and enslave the rest with transhumanism, this merger of man and machine. And they had conferences on this in the 40s and the Macy conferences, the man machine conferences led to, you know, by Gregory Bateson and Margaret Mead, his wife. All these things have a history. And if we can identify the history, we can see how these things developed in the patents, in the laws, in the, and of course, a lot of declassified documents here. But, you know, this is real. This is very real. You can't see these directed energy weapons, but they're there. And we have a surveillance state now, police state, with spies all over the place. So America's in deep, deep, deep trouble. And I think America, using this technology, is trying to conquer the world for the ruling elite, which we've identified as the synagogue of Satan. So this has to be exposed. You know, between TIs in Ireland and America and England and Sweden and all over the world, South America, wherever it is, and we need to fight back as hard as we can for free will and for our own survival.
Thank you very much, Eric. Excellent presentation. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'll be back with you all soon, and bye for now.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on TBR Radio, brought to you by the Barnes Review. Andrew's book, The Synagogue of Satan, is now available on his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.